Hallelujah. We're going to shout the victory. We're not going to let what people think or do not do stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
And that's to worship and serve Him in all truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. And so, it has been a great morning.
We turned it up some.
Amen. It has been a great morning. And I thank God for the opportunity to be down here. Amen. I truly do. I thank God for the opportunity to be down here and just to celebrate with you all. He says where two or three are gathered, He's in the what? Midst. Amen. There's more than two or three of us here. Is that not right? And so God is in the midst. Praise the name of Jesus. We're going to go into Daniel this morning. Hallelujah. I love it. That's why I talked about this earlier this week on the men's fellowship line. And I prayed about what God would have me to say this morning. And so God has brought me right back to the book of Daniel in chapter 6. That's where we're going to be this morning. Daniel chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 1. I'm going to read 1 down to about 10. 1 down to about 10. I'm going to cover the entire chapter somewhat in bits and pieces. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Hallelujah. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 6, 1 through 10. And it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Amen. Praise God. I know that was a lot of reading this morning, and thank you all for bearing with me in that reading, but I had to get that out. I think it's vitally important that we talk this morning about distinguishing ourselves. Amen. Distinguishing ourselves, setting ourselves apart from what the rest of the world does. Because we're all in here born again Christians. Am I correct? Amen. Is there anybody here that's not saved? And I'm just going to ask that. I believe that everybody in here is saved. Hallelujah. And thank God for salvation. And because we are saved, even though I'm going to cover this one particular passage of scripture again, but we all know that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. That all things have passed away. Behold, things have become what? New. Amen. And so the life that we're living now is a life that's far different than the life we once lived before we came to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. God has an expectation of all of us to have a different outlook on life, a different character, a different mindset, a different conversation. God expects us to be renewed in Him. Amen. Reconciled to Him, that we would live out the life that God has designed us to live. Amen. There's a life that God has appointed for every one of us to live individually before Him. Amen. We have to give an account for the life that we live. We talk about being good stewards. We talk about being good stewards of our homes, our marriages, our money, and everything that's in our possession. Well, what else is in our possession? Our lives. Amen. And so we have to be good stewards over that which God has given us, that when people see us, they see Christ reigning richly in our lives. Amen. Let me lay the foundation real quick about Daniel and where he is. And we all know that Daniel, among the three Hebrew boys, also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then there's a host of God's children that are in captivity. Amen. That's what, they're in captivity. They're in a place against their will, a place where they don't want to be. But yet they still have to serve who? God. So I'm going to ask this question this morning, because I thought about it as I was coming down the road. How many of us have been or in places where we just don't want to be in our lives? Some places that we put ourselves in, other places we found ourselves in, and sometimes God puts us in places because he wants to get our undivided what? Attention. And it was no different than the children of Israel at that time, who had not done what they promised to do. They did not keep the covenant of God. And because they did not keep the covenant of God, and they kept going out doing things that God told them not to do, found themselves now in the hands of the Babylonians and the Persians and the Medes. They found themselves in a place where they did not want to be. I can honestly tell you, there's some places in my life that I just don't want to be in. Some places that I put myself in. Praise God. But regardless of how I found myself in the conditions that I find myself in, because I'm a child of God, a new creation in Christ Jesus, I can't just act any old kind of way. I can't think any old kind of way. I can't talk any old kind of way. I have to remain the same person that God has created me to be, regardless of what I'm going through. Hallelujah. Maybe it's just me. I'm the only one. Amen. That's been in some places or some things that I just don't like being in. Maybe it's just me who feel like acting up sometimes. Do anybody here feel like acting up sometimes? I know I do. Amen. I know I'm held to a higher standard, I'm held to a higher standard in Christ, but there's sometimes this old nasty flesh of mine want to act out and do some things that I'm not supposed to what? Do. There's sometimes I want to be that person that I used to be before I came to know God versus the person that God has created me. Because sometimes I just don't like the way that I feel. And I want to do some things about it. Amen. But I got to tell you right now, when you stand for Christ, I'm just being honest and open with you all, but when you stand before Christ and you give God your life, God does not give us room to be who we once were. Once we've accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, we're not like a fish out of water flip-flopping back and forth on the side. God doesn't want that from us. God wants us to be on that straight and narrow path that he's laid us on, and he wants our eyes consistently on him. So now Daniel's in a place where he doesn't want to be. He's in captivity. Not because Daniel necessarily did anything wrong, but because the children of Israel did something wrong, and the whole body of God's children went into captivity. And so he's in a place, again, where he don't want to. But what does the scripture say? He operated in a spirit of what?
Excellence.
Daniel operated in captivity. Daniel was operating in a spirit of excellence. How many of us have a spirit of excellence? If you're a child of God, you have to have a spirit of excellence. You may not want to always operate in it, but the spirit of excellence is the Holy Spirit. God has given us his spirit to operate in, to humble ourselves, to follow, to hear, to be led by, to bring us to a new place in our living. Now, there's a spirit of excellence that we should act in our character, but he's given us his Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do. And we should be willing to submit to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to do one thing and one thing only. He wants to please God. He wants to make sure that we're lined up with God's perfect will for our lives. And so God doesn't give us room to act in any kind of way. God doesn't give us room to think any old kind of way. God doesn't give us room to talk any old kind of way. God expects us to operate in the spirit of what? Excellence. And right here, when we look in the Word, we see where it says that not only was he being appointed as a governor, but then because he distinguished himself, he was being set over the entire what? Realm. Because he operated in a spirit of excellence. But he was in a place he did not want to what? Be. How many of y'all ever asked for a job that you were so desperate to have that once you got it, you realized it was not what it was cracked up to be and wanted to leave, but you couldn't leave because you needed that job? I've been there before. and didn't like what was happening at the job. But God did not give me any excuse to act any old way because I didn't want to be there and it wasn't what it cracked up to be. I still had to operate in a spirit of what? Excellence. Sometimes we put ourselves in a position to have to go through some things that we don't necessarily have to go through. We wouldn't have put ourselves in it, but now we're in it. We can't necessarily get out of it. So we just have to honor God anyhow. Are y'all with me this morning? Praise God. And so that's what happened in Daniel's life. Daniel didn't ask to be in captivity, but he was there. And as a result of being there, he had to bless and honor God. There's three things I want to look at this morning about Daniel's life and his spirit of excellence that I really believe if we follow that, that we too will honor God just as Daniel honored God and see God's blessings and see God's prosperity upon our lives. I don't know about you, but I want to be prosperous. I want to be prosperous in everything that I do. Everywhere that I go, I want to make sure that I'm growing, that in my spirit, man, I'm looking more like Christ each and every day. I don't want people to say, well, that's Todd Stubblefield that I used to know. No, I want them to know a new Todd Stubblefield. I want them to know a new man, a man that God is working on internally so that the external person is no longer who they once saw. Amen. So let's look at this real quickly. There are several things I want to point out about Daniel that I think is vitally important to us. Again, because we're saved. We're children of God. No different than he was. A child of God. The difference between Daniel and us, though, is that Daniel didn't have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that God did not delight his spirit upon Daniel in times of need. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that we have the indwelling, the power of God reigning on the inside of us each and every day. When we quote that scripture, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask. Can't y'all ask for some great things? Aren't there some great things that you can ask or think? Aren't there some things that you can think that are great in your life? But God says he's far exceeding above that. He says, now unto him that can do abundantly, I mean exceedingly and abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that is working on the where? Inside of us. Who's the power working on the inside? It is the Holy Spirit. He's working on the inside of us to bring out a godly man and a godly woman that the one that who Christ died for, we now look like. Matter of fact, if you look at, and this is not even my scripture, but if you ever look back in the Romans chapter 8, you'll see where it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many what? Brethren. He's the firstborn among many. So that means that there were supposed to be some more people who look like Christ. I'm not saying you will be Jesus Christ. No, that's not what I'm teaching. But what I'm saying is that there were supposed to be more children of God that looks like who? Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. So you and I, we should look like God all the time. We should look like Christ all the time. In his image we were created, male and female. That's what he says over in Genesis chapter 1, 28. He created us male and what? Female. To be in his likeness and his image. So when we look at this thing for a second, his likeness is his image. It's almost in the sense of looking in a mirror and seeing yourself. So what people should see in us is reflective of who God is. Isn't that interesting? So we're without what? Excuse. Okay, so let's look at this real quick. I won't keep you long, but I love this. I do. And I had to think about this for a long time. Because I'm going to tell you, as I said before, I feel like acting out sometimes. Because sometimes people get on my nerve. Don't they get on your nerves sometimes? Don't people just aggravate you sometimes? It's just a normal part process of life.
They did to me.
Huh?
I said they did to me.
Yeah. Sometimes they aggravate us and we aggravate people. And that's one of the things we tend to forget. We always think about what people do to us, but we sometimes forget what we do to what? People. And so God wants us to live a better life. Now here we're talking about Daniel distinguished himself because he was living in an excellent spirit. And the reason I asked y'all early on if you're saved is because at the end of the day, you've made some confessions out of your mouth about who Jesus is in your life. And so if you've made those confessions and you've received him in, there's some things internally that needs to start happening that externally should be seen in each and every one of us. We're not going to be perfect. Oh, absolutely not. Not here. You know, but you can be perfected in God's spirit, but you may not be perfected in your flesh, but we can be perfected in God's spirit. And that's what I want. I was reading over Micah chapter 2:2, and it was talking about how people were being deceived out of their lands and their houses and their inheritances by other children of God. That's interesting. I said, God, I don't want to be deceiving people, whether it's out of their houses, their inheritances, or whatever. I don't want to be. My name, Todd. All right. I love my name, Todd. Don't get me wrong. I do. But one of the definitions, or one of the meanings for the name Todd, you know what one of the meanings of it is? Sly fox. Why would my mama and my daddy name me after something that's slick? I don't want to be a sly what? Fox. I don't. I really don't. So when the Bible talks about a name is more precious than rubies and diamonds and all those other things, because names have what? Meaning. And if you're not careful, you live out what your name is. And if your name is not good, is not a good name, and you're wondering why you're in the place that you're in, it's because your name is what's preceding you in your actions. Whether we believe that or not, I do, because God talks about our what? Names. Now, the name Elwood, on the other hand, one of the meanings behind that is comforter. I like that name a lot better. To comfort people. I like that part. But anyway, let's get into this real quickly, real quickly. I won't keep y'all long, right? Amen. Y'all with me this morning?
Sure.
Here's what's interesting. Now, we saw where Darius wanted to make Daniel a governor over top of the entire realm. First, he was making him one of what? Three. But because he operated in a spirit of excellence, Darius, he thought about this. Wait a minute, there's something different about this guy who's in captivity. He's not a part of my people, but yet he still operates in a spirit of excellence. There's nothing that's shaking this guy from being who he is, regardless of what his present conditions are. And so Darius thought about it. He said, maybe I should make him in charge of everybody. And they all report to him. So people didn't like that. So people were kind of angry about that. So they sought out to set him up. Have any of y'all felt like people were setting you up? I have. I felt like people on my job tried to set me up before. Matter of fact, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt some people tried to set me up on my job. Not because I'm thinking they were. I've had reports that some people tried to set me up on my job before. I'm not talking about right now, but before. And so with that, Daniel knew they were setting him up. Let's look at the scripture for a second. It says, verse 7, all the governors, did it say some of the governors? It says all of the governors, verse 7, all of the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and the advisors, had consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitioned any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Wait a minute. Daniel was what? There. Daniel was there. And they were consulting and talking about, I don't know what Daniel said. I don't even know if Daniel said anything in the midst of that meeting, but he was a part of all the governors, all the administrators, and all the satraps, while they were saying, let's set a decree that no one petitions any other god except for you, O king. Can you imagine being in that meeting? Knowing that someone's talking about shutting you down for 30 days against something that contradicts your life as a child of God, that you can't say nothing at all. You can't do, you can't be who you are in the Lord. You, Daniel sat there and listened to that. I'm sure he may have had a conversation. I don't know what the conversation is. I know what my conversation would have been. Do you know what your conversation would have been? I was like, whoa, what are you talking about? I can't call on God for 30 days. Do you know it's God who's kept me? This would have been Todd Stubblefield. Let's reenact this. First of all, I don't like the fact that I'm in captivity. I'm just being honest with y'all. I don't like it. I don't like to have to get up every morning and be told what to do by somebody else when I was living a free life. Now, I'm in here because of somebody else's actions. And so with that being the case, now I'm doing my best to live the life that God has called me to live when I was once free, but now I'm captive. But now you're telling me that the very same God who's kept me in this situation, I can't talk to him? You got to be kidding me. That's like somebody telling you, okay, let me break it back down to even an earthly perspective. You can't call your mama for 30 days. Or your dad for 30 days. You got to shut them out. But you used to be in with them all the time. And if you do, your life is in your hands. Your life will be healed at this particular point. Are you kidding me? This is my mother and my father. I'm going to call them when I want to call them. What do you think you're talking about? That meeting probably turned out to be a fight. I'm just being honest with y'all. But Daniel went with him. Watch this. I love this. Verse 8 says, "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." He signed it. He signed it in the presence of everybody. And verse 10, which is the most important part of this whole thing, says this. "Now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, with his window open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since" what? "The early days." Daniel stayed true to himself. And so the question this morning is, how many of us stay true to ourselves in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our situation? We're in a world today, and I say this to people all the time, they really don't pay attention. And Kevin said it earlier, we need to pay attention to the times. You know, they're talking about creating this new underground train that runs from New York to D.C. in 30 minutes. They've gotten the permits thus far. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. They've gotten the permits this far to already dig those tunnels in Maryland. They haven't gotten Virginia's permission to dig these tunnels yet. They're working on it. These high-speed trains. They've gotten permission to dig in one other place, this multi, I don't know if he's a billionaire trillionaire guy, he's really pushed this thing. And it's based on the trains that are overseas. High-speed trains, the railroad there. And he has the equipment to start. He's looking to, I think he needs one or two more of these super drills that drill underneath the earth. But anyway, or in the earth, drilling. They're waiting and they're getting the necessary momentum to go forward and get this done. So why is this important to us? Why is this important? Because once those trains get into place, people's expectation is always to get somewhere quicker than what they're used to, which starts to deal with your patience, whether you pay attention to that or not. And so now you don't lack the patience to stand or stay anywhere. Everything has to be instantaneous. And the minute that things are not moving instantaneous for you, what then begins to happen? Attitudes fail. My attitude failed. In that book that I wrote, I talk about the microwave. How today we want everything instantly. But when I was growing up, everything used to be cooked in a conventional oven, where it took time to warm up the food. It took time for the oven to heat up. And we waited patiently for food that was so good to us. My mom would cook during Saturday afternoon most of all the food. Prepare it for Sunday. Sunday, she may have had to do a couple of things and may have had to warm it up.
But we waited patiently for that meal. Now, watch this. We had to get all our food out of the refrigerator and throw it in the microwave. And God knows that somebody else would use the microwave before us. How long are you going to be? Well, wait a minute. That thing is already moving fast. How long are you going to be? Didn't you just warm that up? Because it affects who we are as people when things start to do this. Our expectation is this. And we lose the very thing the Holy Spirit gives us, patience, the ability to endure and to wait. And so God allows us to get into situations so that we'll learn how to wait on Him. And that's the interesting thing about Daniel. Daniel learned how to wait on God. He wasn't moved by what people did, thought, or say, because he was already in a relationship. And so it says he went back to doing what he was normally used to doing early on. Now, Kevin talked about our friend now interested in going to church. And praise God, that's an awesome thing. And we will do whatever we can to help her in that process. But can you imagine where she would be if she had already been in church when the crisis comes? I'm not saying she wouldn't be shaken. I'm not saying she wouldn't be moved. I'm just simply saying that the relationship would be a lot more firm in the Lord, so that no matter what comes, our trust and our faith is in God versus us trying to get into it now. Most of us are reactive to situations, and we come to God when we need Him. God wants us to come to Him because we just want to be with Him. Just there's no doubt that He wants to be with us. However we get to God is good. But it doesn't matter. I mean, but what matters the most is that we're in a... Daniel was in this relationship before he got in captivity. Daniel was in this relationship during captivity. And Daniel will be in that relationship after captivity. So even though he was in a place he didn't want to be, he was still able to wait and hold on to God in spite of what he was going through. Whatever the storm was, he was holding on to who? God. He knew he was being set up, and he was holding on to who? God. He knew they didn't want him to be over top of everybody else, but he was still holding on to who? God. They were ready to take his life, but he was still holding on to who? God. And we need to be mindful of that. And we can't allow the little hangnail on our fingers that's real sore to get us out of who? God. Why do I say that? Little small situations. And so here we go, real quickly. And so, first thing, Daniel knew they were setting him up. He knew it was for failure, but he didn't allow that to distract him from who he was in God. Matter of fact, write this down real quickly. You don't have to turn there, but write this down real quickly. One of your favorite scriptures. I know this is one of y'all favorite scriptures as I read it. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, but to acknowledge him in what? All your ways. And he shall do what? Direct your path. Now watch this. I love this part in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from who? Evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Look at that. Look at that. Don't be wise in your own what? The minute something's going wrong, we always try to figure it out, aren't we? Versus trusting in who? God. Don't lean to your understanding, but lean to who? God. And that's what Daniel did. And the other thing that I was bringing out earlier was I was saying earlier that I would cover it again. But, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we're no longer old creations, but we're new creations in Christ Jesus. Verse 18 says this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Says this. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. God wants us to become what? New. Second thing I want to point out about Daniel that I love about him. He prayed and gave thanks 3 times a day before God. He in captivity, but he's giving what? Thanks. He prayed, which means he talked to God. And then he gave what? Thanks. Sometimes I don't give God thanks. I'm just being real with you. I just pray. I'm crying out, Lord, get me out of this situation. Lord, I can't take it. Lord, help me out so bad. I need this. I need that.
sometimes it's just good to say, Lord, you know what? I just thank you for the rain. It may not be the best day for activities, but I get to go out in the rain and feel the freshness of the water that's poured out of the sky. The replenishing of our lakes, our ponds, our water supply. Maybe cause my grass to grow out of whack, but I gotta cut it, but at least I have the strength to do what? Cut it. Maybe I'm gonna get wet going out there and I gotta be out there and do some stuff. There's some things I was planning on doing today, and it's not the best time, but I gotta go do it anyway because I gotta get it done today. It's Sunday. And tomorrow comes and I don't have time the rest of the week, and I better get it done today. But Lord, I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I have bills because I can pay those bills. I may not like that I put myself in all those bills, but I have help and strength to pay those what? Bills. I see more and more people today becoming homeless, on the streets, begging for money. Lord, I may not have the best household. The other day, remember the day, 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days or 3 days ago, it was thundering and lightning and raining real hard. I know it wasn't Woodridge. So, sitting on the couch in the living room, I'm playing on my iPad, my favorite game, pool, or spades, and I hear this running of water. I said, wait a minute, I didn't turn on anything. And I look at my front window, and I have a big front window on my townhouse. And all of a sudden, there's water pouring through the wall inside the house. I said, oh my gosh. I ran over there, I unhooked the Venetian blinds and took them out, and the water was just pouring. So my house has a bump out. So evidently, the caulking or whatever it is, where the wood, when that wood fastens to the front of the house, it's just gone bad. And it needs to be replaced. But that I couldn't do anything at that particular point because it was thundering and lightning and the water was pouring into the house. I called to my wife and my daughter. I said, hey, give me some towels real quickly. Let's put it down. And that's what we did and soaked up all the water. I said, Lord, thank you for a house that's taking in water. Because I could have been in the street somewhere. Or a tree could have been coming through the window, and it did not. Or the roof could have been taken off the house. It was not. It was water pouring into the front window. First, I thought I left the window. I'm being honest with y'all. I thought I left the window open. It was that bad. And like somebody was pouring a bucket of water. I said, oh my goodness. Now you're getting frustrated. Is it creating another bill? Yeah, it is. But Lord, thank you for I have what? House.
And so, you know, here Daniel prayed and he gave thanks in the midst of his situation. And so, you know, over in Philippians 4:4-8, it talks about, let me look there real quickly. My mind just went blank. It says, rejoice always in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. And my mind just went blank again. So let me just turn there. Wow, that's one of my favorite scriptures. Here we go. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Isn't that something? God's present. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Not the people who you like, but all people. People you dislike. People who get on your nerve. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Be anxious for nothing. I'm sure Daniel wanted out of his place. I'm sure Daniel wanted to do something. Be anxious. Listen. Let your gentleness be known to all who? Men. You're going to find yourselves in some places that you don't want to be in. You're going to find yourself doing some things you don't want to do. You're going to find some supervisors asking you to do some work that's not your own when somebody else is supposed to be doing it is not what? Doing it. And you're going to want to get mad, and you're going to want to say some things, and you're going to want to let your, you're going to want to let your discontent be known. But God says, no. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Or how about when things are just good? Always rejoice in the Lord. For the Lord is what? At hand. Do you know what that really means? God is ever present and ready to move on your what? Behalf. But God doesn't move on stinky flesh.
God doesn't move when we act out like we want to act out. God, when we're rejoicing in the Lord, even though we don't like our situations, we're distinguishing ourselves and we're operating in an excellent spirit, God is readily present to do some great things in our what? Lives. God is willing to move some walls, open up some doors, close some doors to our past, and make ways out of no way. When you talk about the hand of God, go back and look at this thing one day. When you talk about the hand of God, you talk about the work of God. God is at hand. He's ready. You may have to go in for a minute, but God will bring you out. He'll make it work on our behalf.
Okay, number three. So we can get out of here. I know y'all ready to go. Let me just do this. The part I didn't read was in verse 11. And look what happened in verse 11. It says this. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God. And that, in other words, he was asking God for help. He was still doing the same thing that he just was in an assembly talking about not doing. He's still doing it. But they found him asking for help.
God, how do you want me to deal with this situation when this decree is causing me to separate? How do you want me to handle this, God? We don't like a lot of things that are happening in the earth. We don't like a lot of the new laws in the earth. We don't like a lot of things that are going on that are contrary to God's will. God, how do you want me to handle this? What do you want me to do? Tell me, Lord. And then we are to submit ourselves before God. We really are.
Psalms 119, 105 says this. Oh, I love this. Psalms 119, 105. Listen to what he says in 119, 105. Lord, how do you want me to handle this, Lord? And look what the Lord says in 119, 105. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. I'm a what? Afflicted. Does that not sound like Daniel's life? I'm afflicted. It's not Daniel writing. But listen to what it says. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word, except I pray the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Isn't that interesting? Does that not sound like Daniel's life?
How many of this morning want to make sure that we commit to God? I know I am. In everything, I may not like it, but I'm still going to commit to who? God. And I'm going to be faithful to his word, and I'm going to watch God work things out on my behalf. And even in working things out on my behalf, he says what? All things work together. Not some things. All things work together for good for those who are called in Christ. We are the called in Christ. It's going to work out. You may have to go in for a little while, but eventually God will bring you what? Right on out. And he'll establish you in such a way that when you look at the end of Daniel, and I'm not going there, I'm done.
When you look at the end of Daniel chapter 6, the word of God says he prospered. He prospered. And what's even more important is that King Darius, after he ran down to the lion's den,
and said, oh, Daniel, had the Lord whom you continually serve delivered you? He says, yes, O king. He could have yelled out something mean. He says, yes, O king. He has sent the angel down to shut the mouth of the lion. The king was so ecstatic, he said, remove that covering and bring them out and throw the ones, basically, who were setting him up in there. The Bible says, before they hit the ground, the lions crushed them. And then God will fight our what? Battles. And because King Darius witnessed Daniel's life of excellence before the setup and after the setup, he made a decree that every nation in his kingdom shall serve continuously the God of Daniel. In other words, when we let our light so shine and men see our good works, they'll give God in heaven glory for everything else. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Todd. Thank you for that wonderful message. Before we dismiss, let's grab our hymn books and sing a verse or two of, I believe it's 408. Let me check real quick, and we'll dismiss with a word of prayer. And let's do verses 1 and 4 of This I Surrender All, 408. Please stand with me, and we'll sing this and dismiss just a second. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.